The thriller is a British courtroom drama, and there are not too many contemporary writers of courtroom dramas. They are in America, but the UK, the Rumpole of the Bailey and all that sort of thing, but there hasn't been anything too much recently. This is an interesting one, and it's obviously the first in a series featuring the two central characters of this first one, which is called Summary Justice. And the books are written by John Fairfax, who is a practicing barrister in the UK criminal justice system. And the central character is William Benson. He's a criminal barrister with a difference because he has a murder conviction of his own. He's sentenced to a long term in prison for a murder which he claims he did not commit. But he goes to jail, and while he is there, he studies to become a lawyer. He meets a young lawyer very briefly during the trial process, and he confesses to her, because that means guilt, but he says to her, I would like to be a lawyer. And she says, go for it. Study for it. And he does. And then when he comes out of jail, he has enormous difficulty getting people to brief him, because he's a convicted murderer. But wouldn't you know, coincidence being a strange thing, he is briefed to take on a murder trial, and he has to work with this woman who is no longer quite so young, who abandoned the law and went to the European Union and has now come back and has joined a criminal practice firm. And the two of them are thrown together. And he has to, as an absolute novice, convicted murderer, but now barrister admitted, has to stand up and defend the innocence of his client. And there's some very nice twists and turns. And obviously, being a practicing barrister, John Fairfax knows the inside of the courtroom very, very well indeed. And it is a gripping tale. It's called Summary Justice by John Fairfax. I've read several thrillers, none of them particularly satisfying, about Iraq during the war and post-war period. And they're all kind of American foreign policy gung-ho type thrillers, which are not my genre. I don't think I've ever read a book set in Iraq by an Iraqi writer. And I took so much pleasure reading a book called The President's Gardens by Muhsin al-Ramli. It's got that kind of magical feel that something like 100 Years of Solitude has, but it's about Iraq. It starts Ramadan 2006. 9 decapitated heads are delivered to an Iraqi village, and that sets in motion a story that spans generations. You stay in the present and you go back to various generations in the past. And, I mean, it's for, what, nearly 40 years that the people of Iraq have been suffering war, which basically has only had brief pauses to it. And there have been uprisings, there's been sanctions, there's been a great deal of illness and poverty. This is a book which was published in Arabic in 2012 and has now been translated. And it seems to me extremely well translated, because there's none of that clunkiness and awkwardness which sometimes accompanies translated works. And it is epic. It's absolutely epic about the experience of that period of extended conflict and hunger and deprivation and disease from the Iraqi perspective. It's beautifully written. If every one of the lines from the book, if every victim had a book, Iraq in its entirety would become a huge library impossible ever to catalogue. But the author puts a lot of these stories, and he controls the stories and the intersection between them with great adeptness. He is a Madrid-based academic, and he bases this book on stories that were told to him by Iraqi citizens. His brother, who was a poet by the name of Hassan Mutlak, was executed by Saddam Hussein in 1990. So it's one of those novels that achieve something which is quite rare, that it's absolutely specific in its context. Iraq, the Iraqi conflict, the causes of the Iraqi conflict, the consequences of it. But its themes are universal. Love, death, injustice, the importance of dignity. How do you find friendship and meaning amid oppression? It's a wonderful book. The President's Gardens by Muhsin, Muhsin al-Ramli, winner of the English Pen Award, by the way. And then Utopia for Realists and How We Can Get There. This is a book by a Dutch economist called Rutger Bregman, and it's become a huge bestseller, particularly in the United Kingdom. And you kind of you start it and you page through it and you see all the graphs and you see the case studies and you say, this is the kind of book that becomes a bestseller. But it's what it does, I think, is he argues that human beings have moved forwards a lot in the last two centuries. We've made incredible progress, but now humanity is stalling. We've got soaring inequality. That's unarguable. We have these very high levels of poverty, which seem immune to any kind of policy intervention. We're all working longer and longer and getting less and less satisfaction from our jobs. He writes it brilliantly. And essentially, I mean, he's an economist of the left, and he says the economists of the left have failed to put forward an alternative vision. They have failed to argue that this does not have to be how it is. His central premise is the basic income grant, and he looks at case studies and he looks at theories around basic income grants and how properly constituted they can make a huge difference to levels of poverty. But his thematic thrust and the reason why so many people have responded is that the economists of the right, that the people of an increasing conservatism across Europe, have been ceded the battle terrain because the left is not saying that's not how it has to be, this is how it could be, and arguing with passion and with conviction and with economic science about how we could get to what he says is a utopia which is realistically attainable. That's called Utopia for Realists and How We Can Get There. And it is by the Dutch economist Rutger Bregman. I'm going to give this book to Bruce Whitfield, and I'm going to suggest that sometime in the next couple of weeks, he gets hold of Rutger Bregman on the phone and puts him on the radio sometime on The Money Show.